my country. Someone is watching and listening. Soon I'm going to turning off because we're just going to move and work on things. So what I hope you can get to do today is at least, or much of what I'm saying here. I'll say a few more things just in case you have some doubts and maybe ask questions if you are not sure how to proceed. So the RA, you were working with this advection equations, this U, T equal U, X equation. And some of you began playing around with it. So let's just make sure you finish that. And then what does it mean to finish that? So start with a periodic domain. Just make sure the code runs. Make sure you can visualize solution. And here I put in point three, but actually so in all cases, convince yourself, at least yourself, that the solutions you're obtaining are correct. So we discussed at the end of Wednesday some things you need to do, some conversions. Just see that your code is converging. Compute the convergence rate by obtaining three subsequent solutions for three different grids, computing the differences, and so on. So make sure at least the convergence order you get out of it is the convergence order you expected. And plot the solution. So don't just start in the solution, go till the final time, and then say this is the solution. Just plot some intermediate times as well, like the norm of the solution and the difference between two solutions, just to get a feeling of what roughly the error is. So there is a priori nothing that prevents you from, in a numerical implementation, at the end of the day, to provide a solution and give error bars associated to it. So once you've done kind of that one, you're going to set up much of the infrastructure to do this testing, so how to run maybe three different resolutions and then to take the subtractions, et cetera. Then what I want you to do is move to a case where actually boundaries play a role. So imagine now that you remove the periodic domain assumption, just have the domain between 0 and L. You have the equation u, t equal u, x. You know where to give the boundary conditions, so just give 0 incoming boundary. And I think we were discussing the other day after a question of a gift right there, you would put a pulse. The pulse would move from right to left. And if you're not putting anything on the right, you're essentially going to get 0. You're going to see a very small reflection. And that reflection will get smaller and smaller as time as you keep evolving and as you increase the resolution of your grid. Then just for fun, imagine giving the boundary condition on the left boundary. That, we argue, was wrong. That's not mathematically consistent. And then just see what happens. You also need to develop some intuition of what are the telltale signs of something that doesn't work. So the next time you see it, you kind of get a feeling of where to perhaps go and look for what needs to be fixed. So that's with the advection equations. Once you finish that, move to this equation, this 1D full second order wave equation. Reduce it to first order, so you're going to have three equations to solve for. So that will imply your code becomes a little bit more cumbersome. Now you have to carry three fields with their proper updates. So just give that a try. Ask me, ask Eric. We're going to help you out. And again, so first, for simplicity, imagine you're back in the periodic grid, so you don't have to worry about boundary conditions. And then you move to removing the periodicity assumption, again, iterating between 0 and L, and impose no incoming values, say, at both sides. So there, if you put a pulse, you see it go, some piece would to the left or to the right or both, depending on the type of initial conditions you provided. And you should know, just based on analytical consideration, what type of initial conditions you can give to describe a purely left moving, a purely right moving, or a combination. If you don't know that, ask me. I can describe that in detail. But I imagine that most of you know how to do it. And again, convince yourself that things are fine. So I wrote here something that might help you. This, most of you already have this from Friday, of how to write, how you wrote the code. So roughly, you understood and you implemented in your code a time loop, something that will kind of keep, it will take a step from a given level to the next one. It shuffles the solutions, into the old value, the new values that you obtain, and then you just keep looking, looping. This allows you to step in time. Each step involves evaluating the derivatives. Many of you wrote your code that way, just first evaluating the derivatives, then taking the results of the derivative to evaluate the right-hand side, and then you did the update. That's how more or less all codes that you wrote would proceed or would actually look like. The one thing that now will change if you put boundary conditions is where you actually do that. And remember, I said there is freedom here. You can do it at the level of the right-hand side, i.e. you're imposing the boundary conditions on the time derivative of your field, or you do it at the level of the solution itself. So after an update, you would have to impose the conditions. I mentioned that my preference, just for convenience, is to do it at the level of right-hand side. So if I were writing the code, the only thing I need to do is just add a new entry right after I evaluated the right-hand side of each equation, where I modify the right-hand side to impose a boundary condition. So on Wednesday, we describe how the right-hand sides would need to be changed. Of course, that we only modify the right-hand side at the boundary points. We do nothing at any interior point, and we just modify it at the boundary. And then the update follows as usual. Many of you last week implemented the first order in time iteration, so there was no intermediate update. Remember when we discussed like the Runge-Kutta method, that to go from level n to level n plus 1, you first computed something in between that was an intermediate value, then you use the intermediate value to compute something at some other level, and then you use all that to produce the update here. So this is just a reminder that if you have a multi-step iteration, the boundary condition has to be imposed at every step. So every time, either it's intermediate or full step or whatever, if you have computed the right-hand side and you're using it to update the solution, remember that the right-hand side is now mindful that there is a boundary, and we're not doing the correct treatment of the boundary unless we impose the boundary condition, again, either at the level of right-hand side or immediately after we update. So either this one is here or there, and make sure that you impose it at every time you take a step, regardless of where it's full or some intermediate step. So on that's what I would like to set you up to do today. If you have any questions, let me know. Maybe there is a question to you that something that wasn't clear that from Wednesday, ask me. If not, then you just start working, and then we can go around and discuss as needed. So any questions? Anything unclear?